For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Ryan Day speaking to the Big Ten media the other day. Media days rolling on for the Big Ten. Matt Rhule saying every year the Big Ten should have four playoff teams. Which he's probably saying that because that's probably the only way Nebraska will ever get into the playoffs is when they're the 16th seed, and that's like that they're 16th ranked Nebraska, the best season they're going to have. Why am I firing all these shots today? Listen, we're going to bring
everyone's catching strays.
Everybody is. It's just like Monday all over again, and we're going to welcome on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline college football insider for the Action Network, Brett McMurphy, joins us now. Brett, welcome to the show, buddy.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
We're doing all right here. A lot of fun watching Big Ten Media Days. Last week was a lot of fun from SEC Media Days. Now, did you see Lincoln Riley get questioned about what the Oklahoma AD said about him wanting to skip out on the SEC?
Yeah, I was sitting right there and tweeted it out. Right. Next question.
So, well, I want to know, was he being respectful or was he ducking competition like the Oklahoma AD accused him of?
Well, it's funny. The Oklahoma AD never mentioned him by name. And I know from speaking with the Oklahoma AD that he actually told me he wasn't referencing Lincoln. And I know how it came out. I know that's what everyone thought. But he honestly just said that and wasn't thinking of Lincoln when he said that. Obviously, Lincoln's no longer there. Everyone's gonna twist it into whatever they want it to mean. But you know, I've known Joe Castiglione for 20 years, and I think he said something not realizing that he knows Lincoln's not there. But I don't think when they ask that question, he's like, "Oh, here's a way to get Lincoln," because that's not Joe's personality. So I don't know if I'm answering your question or making it more muddled, but Lincoln made a decision to leave. I asked him, you know, you've been in the Big 12, you've been in the Pac-12, now you're going to the Big 10. You know, how is this going to be different? Or are you going to kind of have to figure this out as you go? And he said, "Yeah, probably a little bit of figuring it out as we go." But I did follow up with, you know, is there a concern with his offense, you know, playing in a lot more cold weather sites on the road than perhaps in his previous two conferences. And he said, not really, you know, we'll adjust. We've got a pretty good record in November, and we played in some snow in the Big 12 I don't think he ever did in the Pac-12, maybe he did, but he said, you know, it's not a concern. But he's talking big about the defense. He expects them to be vastly improved, which, of course, they can't be worse than last year. So if they've got a decent defense, I don't necessarily think they'll compete for the conference title, but maybe they get up into that top 10, 11, 12 range. And if so, you know, got a shot for the playoff.
Right. Today was an interesting press conference from Deshaun Foster. Is he being criticized justly?
I don't know if he's being criticized. I think it's more bewilderment.
Yeah, he sounded super nervous, so I'm trying not to kill the guy.
Yeah, he's super nervous. I've heard some from talking with some other reporters that, you know, he's kind of an introvert. He's kind of got a shy personality. You know, when he was at the breakout session, which is basically with a smaller setup where you can, instead of being, you know, 40 yards away in a big podium, you're literally 2 feet from him. And he said, you know, I'm a soft-spoken guy. He goes, I'm not a rah-rah guy. Rah-rah doesn't get you points. But bottom line is you see that video, which I'm sure everybody has, and he's just, you know, you know, if you don't know anything about UCLA, we're in L.A., you know, that's the bottom line for me is it doesn't give the impression of somebody that looks like a very confident head football coach. And maybe that's not fair, but I think that's what I think getting, you know, when you talk about being criticized, if there was criticism, I think that's it, is that how does that look to recruits? How does that look to, you know, investors in the UCLA program when you see your head coach up there and basically go 5 seconds of silence and basically say, laugh and just kind of say, okay, you know, whatever, questions? You know, it's almost like you don't care, you weren't prepared. Even if you are shy and you're an introvert, you still have to be prepared for that moment. You know it's going to come. Certainly, we know all these schools have media consultants. They have SIDs. They have ADs. They have agents. I mean, certainly somebody that knows him should have worked with him. So, I mean, heck, he could have done a Mike Leach. Step, and here's Coach Mike Leach. Questions. You know, don't even give an opening statement. That would have been fine. But, yeah. You know, unfortunately, not a good look for Deshaun Foster, and, you know, tough enough following Chip Kelly, and then you come out here and don't make a really good first impression.
Brett McMurphy, College Football Insider, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So as we look towards Columbus, it is hot seat season. People making lists of coaches on the hot seat, entering the season on the hot seat. Ryan Day is on a lot of those lists. Should he be?
No, that's ridiculous. Like, it's laugh. I mean, to me, it's laughable. I mean, I'm not living in Columbus, obviously, but it's crazy. The guy's lost 6 games. I mean, yeah, he hasn't beat Michigan. The losing streak better than I do. It's incredible that he's even mentioned on the hot seat. But if he loses to Michigan again, yeah, then there's some people that probably want to make a move. That's crazy to me. I don't think he's never lost to an unranked team. I think the lowest ranked team he lost to was maybe 12 or 13. So all of his losses are teams that were ranked in the top 13. I can guarantee you there's not another coach on the face of the earth currently coaching that can say that same thing. But I understand, you got to beat Michigan. I just wonder, you know, and I had a chance to talk to him and some of the Buckeyes here yesterday. I just wonder, because so much is being, you know, the narrative inside the program and outside the program is it's national title or bust, which is, that's great. But I've talked to some other reporters and trying to think about the last time there's been a school that's gone into the season it's had that attitude, national title or bust. I mean, there's plenty of teams that have been preseason ranked number one, expected to win it all, but you've never heard their teams talking about it's national title or bust. And then what's kind of ironic is the AP preseason poll comes out August 12th. They're going to be ranked number two. Like, they're not even going to be ranked number one, but their whole mentality is national title or bust. Obviously, all the guys that decided to come back to Ohio State instead of going to the NFL – I just wonder if with all that pressure there and all that focus there, if maybe they play not to, instead of playing to win, they play not to lose, and if that impacts them in any way. But, I mean, look, Ryan Day on the hot seat, that's great. I mean, if Ohio State's dumb enough to fire him, he'll have a job in 5 seconds if he wants it somewhere else.
Chip Kelly comes in here as the new OC. Ryan Day talked about him and how much he trusts him. I guess my question, Brett, is how much do we think this offense is going to turn things around and be better than it was a season ago under Chip Kelly?
I definitely think it's going to be different. And, you know, to get in my Wayback Machine, 1999, when I was covering University of South Florida in Tampa, I was at the USF New Hampshire game. Why am I bringing that up to you guys? Because Ryan Day was the quarterback and Chip Kelly was the offensive coordinator. And USF should have won by 4 touchdowns, but they go into double OT, and it's 42-41, and Chip calls a fake on an extra point, and Ryan rolls right and throws. It's incomplete. To his left, there's two guys standing wide open in the end zone. So they're reunited. I think with Chip, you're obviously the running game is going to be a focal point, and Ryan talked about that. You know, they need a quarterback that can run. They don't want to a sledgehammer. They just want a guy that has the option to be able to run. And you look what Chip's done everywhere he's been. when he was at Oregon, the Ducks led the Pac-12 in rushing all 8 seasons. When he was at UCLA, they led the Pac-12 in rushing. They were first or second every year. So Ohio State, I think, is going to be more of a run-first team, if you will. I don't think they're going to be a, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust by any means, but I think they're going to rely more on the run game. How that impacts them, we'll have to find out. But obviously, I think it's going to be a difference. And, you know, for Ryan Day to give up play calling, that's a big thing. But as he said yesterday, you know, I trust Chip with my life. Well, he trusts him with his life, and he trusts him with his offense. So we'll have to see what that means.
So the big to-do also this week for Ohio State and Ryan Day was the fact that Ryan has not named a starting quarterback yet. What percentage chance do you think that there's a starting quarterback at Ohio State week one and from on out that isn't named Will Howard?
Yeah, I mean, you guys are ground zero, but yeah, I think it's pretty set that it will be Will Howard. You know, with the way the schedule is, you know, you've got basically three, I don't want to say bye weeks, but you got three games to kind of figure out what you're going to do. Do they rotate the quarterbacks in, you know, in that opening non-conference stretch before they get to the Big Ten play and get some other guys in there? Or is it just like, Will's our guy and let's go? You know, that's an unknown. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think you bring Will Howard over from Kansas State not to have him start. You know, everything I've heard is that he's the guy. I'd be shocked if Will Howard is not starting the opener against Akron on August 31st.
So the Big Ten has added all these Pac-12 teams and expanded with those four teams, excuse me. Do we see at some point the Big Ten going further with the expansion, excuse me?
Well, I reported this last week. They're not going to add Florida State and Clemson. You know, if the ACC stays together, you know, Florida State and Clemson are the only two that get out. They're not going to add those two. They're going from 14 to 18. The only way the Big Ten adds anybody, probably in the next 3 to 4 years, if even longer than that, is if Notre Dame decides they want to get into conference. Then they will find a way. Then they will get Notre Dame and then find, you know, another partner for them. The only way they would expand, I believe, and what I was told, what I reported last week, is if the ACC, we don't know what's going to happen with the lawsuit with Florida State. If the grant of rights is, you know, ruled that it's not enforceable, or it only costs $50 million to get out of the league and not $300 million, which Florida State estimated it could cost. And then you have several schools leaving the ACC. Then the Big Ten expands again. They go after North Carolina and Virginia, which, oh, by the way, is also the two schools the SEC will go after. And then whoever gets those two schools, the other conference will then probably go to look for a Florida State, for a Clemson, for a Miami, possibly a Georgia Tech. Who knows at that point? But then you'll see the SEC at 20 teams. I think you'll see the Big Ten at a minimum of 20. And then the Big 12 comes in after the fact, and then they get whoever they can get that's not taken, maybe a Pittsburgh or a Louisville, Virginia Tech or something like that, and they go to 20. And then the ACC may go the way of the Dodo Bird and the Pac-12 conference. Or they may, you know, merge with the American and keep some league together. But if Florida State and Clemson are the only two that get out, I don't know where they're going to go. They're not spending potentially hundreds of millions of dollars to leave the ACC to go to the Big 12. But, you know, from it wasn't 80%, it wasn't 90%. 100% of the people that I talked to, and these are university presidents, conference personnel, and TV execs, the Big Ten and the SEC do not want Florida State and Clemson if those are the only two that get out of the ACC. So I don't know what happens or where they go, but the Big Ten stays pat at 18.
So with that, and I know you had a robust report on this, why are the Big Ten and the SEC not interested in Florida State and Clemson if those are the only two teams that wiggle out of the ACC?
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, for different reasons. The SEC's already got Florida and the state of Florida, and they have South Carolina. And the thing is, with fans, they're like, well, this is the better football program. They've had more success. Yeah, you're right. But you're not adding schools based on their win-loss record. You're adding them for a bunch of different reasons. So for the SEC, it doesn't bring them more value. They already have the state of Florida. They already have the state of South Carolina with two universities. They're not going to add more universities in that state because they make the – Greg Sankey even said it in Dallas last week. He said, we don't want to cut up the slices of pie and make them smaller. In other words, we don't want to divide our revenue up by 18 when the same revenue by 18 instead of 16. Nobody's going to take less money to add schools. For the Big Ten, I think the perception was, well, you go add Florida State, you go add Clemson, you're going to increase the revenue, and that's why you expand. Now that the Big Ten is, you know, bloated out to 18 schools, again, unless it's Notre Dame, no school that's available would add revenue per school. It would add some revenue, but then when you divide it by 18 instead of 16, by 14, then it's less per school, so they're not going to do that. Also, there's the academic component. They're not AAU members. You know, I reported that, you know, I've told AAU is not a requirement. It's a preference. I still think that's true, but everybody's an AAU member except Nebraska, but when they joined, they were AAU. They've since lost that accreditation. The Big Ten has no, they're still trying to figure out how to make 18 work. And also the TV networks, they're paying, you know, do they really want to pay more money to bring in more schools? No, they're already stretched to the gills right now. So they're not enthusiastic to do that. And finally, which ironically, the president's had the biggest problem with this. Forget about all that other stuff that I said. I was told that the presidents can't trust Florida State. They think they're a disruptive partner. The way that they're getting out of the ACC by suing the ACC, no school has done that that's left the league. Everyone goes about their own way. You notify the conference, and then you find a new home. Florida State's done it backwards. They're suing the league to get out. They've accused the former commissioner of having illegal doings with his son to help the Raycom TV network. So the university presidents are like, well, Florida State can do that to the ACC. What's to keep them from doing that to us? And so that's why both conferences don't have any interest with them, again, if they're the only two that get out.
Brett, great stuff, buddy. We got to run. We appreciate you, though. Thanks for coming on.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Brett McMurphy there of Action Network on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He seemed to take the idea that Ryan Day is on the hot seat entering this season as a pretty stupid idea there.
Well, listen, everybody around the country that's talking about Ryan Day and the Buckeyes in terms of, hey, they have not beaten Michigan here for multiple seasons, I get it. But, you know, here, I don't know, man. Like, it's different here. The people around the country don't think he should be in the hot seat because he's won a zillion games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do at Ohio State.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, does he think that if they lose to Michigan for a fourth straight year, does he think that Ryan Day wouldn't be affected by that? Because we're going to assume if you don't beat Michigan, you're not winning a national championship, right?
Well, it depends now. I mean, the 12-team playoff allows you for, you know, a little bit of room for error. So, I don't know.
I just think, I think this whole thing is being built to do something really extraordinary. So, I'm not saying it's national championship or bust. That, I think that's something players say. But in reality, there's a lot of things that can happen that can derail that train. I also think having Oregon in the same conference is going to be a bear. Because I think I think Dan Lanning walks into this as the best coach in the Big Ten.
Oh yeah, I think Lanning is arguably top three in college football.
Yeah, Yeah. I think
maybe top two.
Like, I think
Like, would you rather have Dan Lanning over Ryan Day?
Yeah.
And you're not wrong in saying that.
Yeah. And
by the way, I think Oregon might be the team to beat in the Big Ten.
I think there's a lot of reason to believe you're right. Because here's the thing. Ohio State went all in on this season. You know who else went all in on this season? Oregon. Like, they got Dylan Gabriel as their quarterback. They have the kid was Dante Moore, the kid from USC.
Mm-hmm.
So he's their future quarterback. So they've kind of built up a quarterback pipeline. They are always replete with NFL talent, especially now that Dan Lanning. Like, the biggest problem, what disrupted Oregon is that they kind of fell off a little bit after Chip Kelly left. They fired that guy, and they brought in.
They fired that guy.
Well, no. Mark Helfrich. But then they went to, it was like Willie Taggart, who was there for a year. There was another coach for a year, then Mario Cristobal, and then he left. Like, Dan Lanning finally has solidified. And like, if Dan Lanning had left for Alabama, which you can make a case maybe he should have, but if Dan Lanning had left for Alabama this offseason.
I mean, Oregon is a sexier job right now than Alabama. Alabama, I think, without Saban.
Really?
I don't know. I think so.
I kind of feel like Alabama.
Especially they got the coin. You got to have coin these days. Not that Alabama doesn't, but
that's interesting. I would probably still say Alabama just for historic prestige is there, but I mean I think you probably are onto something of how maybe coaches feel about the Oregon job.
Yeah, but from a recruiting perspective, like Oregon can recruit national, no doubt. But you've got a recruiting base around Alabama. Like, you've got in-state talent. You've got every state around you. Yeah. Like, you've got that advantage.
So, maybe that's a better way. Is Alabama the easier
job? They've
got
built-in advantages, okay, for sure. But I think that's what makes them probably the bigger appeal for a coach, is because you don't have to go out and recruit national everywhere. I mean, how many guys is Oregon bringing in from Oregon?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But another thing, too. You get to live in Eugene.
I think I'd rather live in the South than
in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There are nice parts of Alabama. No, I know there are some other parts.
Listen, I've been to Alabama. I go there every year. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that I want to live there.
Weather-wise, I would take Alabama.
No, weather's
Alabama.
Great. Yeah. I'm just saying there's not a ton to do in Alabama. Now, there's the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool.
Well, see, but when you have that kind of money, when you make what Dan Lanning would have made if he'd gone to Alabama, You can leave Alabama a lot. You can travel a lot. Is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, just okay. That's fair. I mean, Oregon's just beautiful.
But I think the Ryan Day stuff, because it is the national media pushing back on the Ryan Day thing. It's fine if you don't want to say he's on the hot seat. You don't spend a reported $34 million to bring back this roster and bring in Will Howard and Quinshon Judkins and all these dudes. You don't spend this kind of money. Coming off the year that you did, without understanding. Oh, by the way, Ryan Day, for the first time in his career, is giving up play calling. They hired a coach from the Big Ten to be his offensive coordinator in Chip Kelly. Like, I actually think there's a lot of parallels between what the Browns and Buckeyes have done. The Browns are trying to remove every last thing that could potentially slow down Deshaun Watson and to give themselves the best chance to be the best possible team this year. I think Ohio State's doing the same thing for Ryan Day. I think the Chip Kelly thing, I think the amount they spent to get everybody in, I think the depth that they have, like, the expectations are championship or bust, or at the very least win the Big Ten and playoffs or bust, because you've done everything to make that possible.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.